Mishnah Yomis for Friday, the 26th day of Adar Beis, Tovshin Pei Dalad. Masechta Nedarim, Perik Yud Aleph, Mishnah Yud Beis, the final Mishnah of the Masechta. Barishon HaYoimim, initially the Chachamim said, Sholesh Nashim Yotzeis V'Notles Ksuba. Three women, three types of women, leave a marriage, they must leave the marriage, a husband must divorce them, but must pay them the ksuba. Number one, case one. Ha'oimers tomeya ani loch. A woman who comes and says, I'm sorry, but I have been defiled and you cannot have me. I've been defiled for you. What does that mean? The Gemara explains we're talking here about a wife of a kohen who says to and confesses to her husband that she's been taken and raped by a person. And someone who is a wife of a kohen who's been raped, is forbidden to go back to her husband, even though it's no fault of her whatsoever. But because it was no fault of her, she gets the ksuba. If she did it willingly, if she was unfaithful, that's a different story. Now, this will only apply in the case of a wife of a kohen. If a wife of a Yisrael, of course, who's been raped, is permitted to go back to her husband, there's no problem there. But wife of a kohen, it's a different story. The Torah gives special regulations, special restrictions for a kohen as to who he can marry, who he's allowed to be or stay married to, and therefore he must divorce her, but he has to pay the ksuba. Case number two, a woman who says, Shomaim beini levanoch, the heavens between me and between you. What does that mean? She comes with a claim against her husband. She says, my husband can't live with me. He's not capable of producing children. She says, Shomaim, the heavens above know beini levanoch, what's going on between me and between you. They know what the difficulty that we have. And therefore, she's basically needs to be, or he needs to give her a divorce, but he has to pay the ksuba. It's no fault of hers. Some say, the Yerushalmi learns that a different pshat in what it means, Shomaim. The word Shemaim here means like the distance of heaven between heaven and earth. That's how far we are apart in terms of our marital relations. Shemaim, we are heavens apart, between me and you. I mean, the explanation is basically the same. It's just the translation. How do we interpret the word Shemaim here? Third case, where a husband must give the ksuba, when she says, Nutula ani min ha-Yehudim, I am banned or I'm taken away. She made a vow, actually, that she will not have marital relations with any Jew. And that includes her husband as well. And she did that not because she's a rebellious woman, it's because her body can't take it. She can't take it. It's an anunsa. She's under duress. She can't help it. Such a woman, the Chacham say, the husband must give her a get, but she does get her ksuba. She's entitled to the ksuba. This was Borishona. All these three cases are governed by the first word of the Mishnah, initially, Borishona. However, the Chachamim changed their opinion later. Chazru Loimar, in a later period, the Chachamim said, no, we will not force a husband to divorce his wife and pay the ksuba if a woman comes with these claims. Why? Because they were worried, and they had good reason to worry, that women that got sick and tired of the husband would use this as an excuse to get out of their husband, to get out of their marriage. Shalo tehe isha nosenes enav ba'acher, because they were concerned that women would put their eyes on another man, umekalkelas al baila, and use that as an opportunity, use any of these three excuses as a way of getting out. And therefore they said, we cannot go just by what she says. She has to bring some sort of evidence. Let's have a look. Elo ha'meres tamei ani loch. One who says, I'm tamei for you. Tovi ra'ayel advarau. Let her bring a proof to her words. Some sort of a proof, some sort of evidence. And if she just tells it out of the blue like that without anything at all, then we can't just go by what she says. Similarly, if she says, Shamayim beni leveinoch, she says that her husband's not capable of living with her, then we don't just accept it on face value. Yasadach bakosha. We ask we look for some reconciliation. We try to get them together and we talk to them, we sit them down, We don't just accept it on face value, what she says. And what happens if she makes a vow that she doesn't want to have tashmish, she doesn't want to live with any Jew? Natulanim and Yehudim. So what do we do there? Yofer chelkoi. Now we get the husband to break the vow, his portion of the vow. In other words, he can now break the vow in terms of her forbidding herself or vowing not to live with him. That was part of the vow. Osei mishamshato. And after he breaks that, she can have relations with him. She's permitted to him. Osei netula min hayehudim. However, her vow will be in place and will be valid as far as all other Jews are concerned, so that if she does still get divorced from her husband or widowed from him, she will not be able to go to any other Jew. We begin a new Masechta, Masechta's Nazir. What's Nazir? Nazir, a man or a woman is called a Nazira, feminine. A man or woman who declares to be a Nazir is a person who therefore cannot drink wine, cannot shave the hair, and cannot defile themselves with a dead body, Tumas Mace. The order of the Masechtas, how it fits nicely after Masechta Nedarim, is explained by the Rambam. He explains nicely, and that is that this Nazir is the Nazir is a specific type of a neder. It's a special type of a vow. So it's really a continuation of Nedarim. Our Mishnah is going to talk about, just like an ordinary neder has what's called the main part of the neder, the Ikar HaNeder, then you have what's called Yad HaNeder, which literally means a handle or a part of a neder, and then what we have Kinui HaNeder, which means a description or like a nickname of the neder, and the same thing is going to apply to the case of a Nazir, a Nazirite. And we're going to learn about that now as the Mishnah starts. Masechta Nazir, Perek Rishon, Mishnah Aleph. Kol kinuyei nazirus kanaziros. All nicknames or descriptions of a Nazir, even though they didn't say the word Nazir, will be deemed to be a full-blown Nazir, nazirus. Now, the Gemara tells us we have to insert the following words. It's a surah machzor. V'chol yedos nazirus kanaziros. Similarly, every handle, literally, every beginning of a Nazir declaration is like the full Nazir declaration. And the Mishnah actually starts to tell us what are these Yedos HaNaziris, V'Elhen Yedos HaNaziris, what are examples of the beginning of a Nazir, literally the handle of a Nazir, which makes the person Nazir just with that beginning, with that opening statement. Ha'omer, a man who says, Eheye, I will be. The Gemara explains, we're talking about a case where he sees a Nazir pass in front of him. He doesn't say the word Nazir, he doesn't even say, I will be like this person. He just said, I want to be. How is a Nazir? The person is already a Nazir. Why? Because it's already understood that he made this statement just as the Nazir passed by, meaning that he wants to be the Nazir. He didn't even have to say, like this man, I will be like this man. Or another example, Ehe Nave, I want to be nice. The Gemara explains he's talking about it, he's holding on to his hair, and he says, oh, I want to be nice. Now, when he's holding on to his hair, I want to be nice, it means I want to be nice, long hair. I.e., that's a Nazir. That's, again, the beginning, the opening statement of Nazir. Says the Mishnah, Nazir. All these cases will be a case of a Nazir. These are Yedois Naziris. These are called the beginning or the handle of the Naziris. Even though the Mishnah didn't say these words, it's as we said in the Gemara, we have to put these words into the Mishnah. Now, the Mishnah is going to tell us what is Kinui Naziris. What is descriptions of a Nazir, which will make him a Nazir. He says, I want to be Hareni Nozik, or Noziach, or Poziach. Even though it didn't come out properly as Nazir, Harizeh Nazir, he will be a Nazir. Someone who says, Hareni Kozeh, if a person says, I want to be like this fellow, I want to be like this fellow, and a Nazir is passing by, he hints to a Nazir passing by, Hareni Masalsel, I want to be able to comb or to turn over my hair nicely. In other words, grow my hair long to be able to comb it or to turn it over. Mechalkel, I want to be able to arrange and have nice layers of hair. Or L'shaleach, hare alay l'shaleach para, I take upon myself to grow my hair long. Again, all these cases are hare zenozir. This fellow will be a nozir, has to be a nozir, because it shows what his kavanah really was. It's as if he said, hareni nozir. Hare alay tziporim. But what happens if a person says, I take upon myself to bring birds? What does he mean by that? Now here we have a machlekes. There are two birds that a nozir has to bring if he became tomei. They are two pigeons or two turtle doves. That is what a nozir bring if he's tomei. And a nozir was passing by at the time. Rabbi Meir Amar Nozir. Rabbi Meir says he is a nozir. Why? Because these words prove or show that he meant to be a nozir. V'chachamim remain a nozir. Chacham say no. That this expression does not mean he's accepting a nazirus, but he does mean that he'll have to bring two birds as a korban, as a donation, as a hektish. It'll simply be like a nadava. It'll be a oilas nadava. It'll be a gift offering as a nadava, and he has to bring indeed those two pigeons or two doves, whatever he said, or whatever he can be of his choice. But he's not a nazir, according to the Chachamim.